of the week again, boys and girls. Well, if you're boys and girls, you shouldn't be in here because this is Stat Boy Sportsman. Here's your host, Stat Boy Mike.
Oh, the music stopped.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? Hello, my internet fans. Welcome to the week 9 edition of Stat Boy Sports Bar. And as you can see by the producer slash co-host sass, owner and ruler and god of the Jeff Meacham Network, you can see the brand new, making its debut, get it on teespree.com, the brand new Stat Boys Sports Bar t-shirt for the low, low price of insert number here.
$19.99 plus tax.
$19.99 plus tax, plus mailing and shipping fees. So get that shirt. It comes in sizes all the way up to, I believe, 3X, I think.
5X, so, baby. 5X.
For you
giant Raider fans that are painting yourself silver, you can wear this over your shirt, over your silverness. There you go.
For all my Andre the Giant fans who can consume 7,000 calories of alcohol in one sitting.
Well, I just call that Tuesday, but anyway.
or 108 beers and four bottles of wine.
Depending on when the Cowboys play, I either call it Sunday, Monday, or Thursday. Anyway.
There you go. Yeah.
So who all's here? I don't know who you are, Facebook user, but crack one open by all means. Please, by all means, crack one open.
Remember, guys, if you're on Facebook, we don't know who you are.
Well, we do if you're on this Facebook because JJ is here. So, what up, Jay?
Renegade
is here. And what are we drinking for the show? I'm actually don't have a drink ready because I was busy producing this damn thing. So I've got
a tall can of Pepsi today. I know I should have some alcohol, but unless you guys want to send me a holiday bottle of Jack for the upcoming holiday season.
Well, the plan as of now is to take my December allotment, and after I get the sample strips out to various people in my plane of vision, I'm going to buy a little bit of the bubbly from
there.
Chris
you go.
Jericho. So
that's a good plan
for New Year's. So let's see what we got here. Michael says, "Hey, Jeff and Stat Boy. Hey,
hello,
how about
Michael.
Stat Boy and Jeff. This is Stat Boy.
Yeah, I should have top billing.
I'm just the Ed McMahon over here. He's Johnny Carson.
Hi-ro.
You guys are too young for that, but that's okay. Hi-oh.
Hi-oh. Anyway,
Big G says, hey, folks. What up, folks? I can't read because I'm fucking illiterate today.
And we're
not on Aaron's radio, so I can cuss, so fuck off. Let's see. Anthony says, Steve's what? We'll get there, Anthony. Take a breath,
we'll
brother.
Get there.
Take a breath. Take a
we'll
breath.
Get there.
And hey. The Cleaver's with us. Hello, Cleaver. Hey. What's up?
Cleaver Colin with the killer beard.
Cleaver Colin saying, hey, like it's Conrad Thompson's channel. This is Jeff Meacham's channel.
Hey.
What are you talking about?
Ho, ho.
Hey, no. Hey. No. No. No,
it's my show. I can do what I want. All right, guys.
Here right now, and of course, Miss Bales is here.
Bailey, the Henderson Honey.
Since you left the wave and the kiss, she stays up for a while. So there you go, as you do. Now, Bailey, keep in mind as you watch, we usually have comments throughout Mikey's show. So if you disappear, sorry, but, you know.
All right, so let's get into the first round of drinks. And we're going to talk about what happened with Justin Turner and his COVID-19 MLB investigation. The investigation is over. The MLB has stated the following, thanks to the commissioner of the MLB. I don't have his name right now, but he wrote this out. Follow along. Robert D. Manfred Jr. writes, and I quote, "The basic facts are well known. Justin Turner was removed from the game and directed to isolate after a positive test for COVID-19. After the game concluded, Mr. Turner left isolation and joined the on-field celebration. As is often the case, our investigation revealed additional relevant information that, while not exonerating Mr. Turner from responsibility for his conduct, helps put into context why he chose to leave the isolation room and return to the field. First, Mr. Turner's teammates actively encouraged him to leave the isolation room and return to the field for a photograph. This means, of course, the Dodgers said, hey, Justin, come out. We need you for the picture.
Right.
Many teammates felt that they had already been exposed to Mr. Turner and were prepared to tolerate the additional risk, meaning the Dodgers felt that, hey, if we're going to catch COVID now, we've already been exposed. It's all good. That's what I think. Second, Mr. Turner believes that he received permission from at least one Dodgers employee to return to the field to participate in a photograph. Although Mr. Turner's beliefs may have been the product of a miscommunication, at least two Dodger employees said nothing to Mr. Turner as he made his way to the field, which they have admitted may created the impression that his conduct was acceptable. So he's got a little bit of a defense saying, hey, somebody from the organization said it was okay for me to go out. So he has a small defense there.
Right.
Third, during the somewhat chaotic situation on the field, Mr. Turner was incorrectly told by an unidentified person that other players had tested positive, creating the impression in Mr. Turner's mind that he was being singled out for isolation. So right. That's the good old-fashioned, hey, why are you picking on me defense? So
why is everybody always picking on me?
There we go. Finally, Major League Baseball could have handled the situation more effectively. For example, in retrospect, a security person should have been assigned to monitor Mr. Turner when he was asked to isolate, and Mr. Turner should have been transported from the stadium to the hotel more properly.
Agreed.
He needs a babysitter, apparently.
Well, if he's a positive test, then yeah, he does. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Mr. Turner has publicly recognized that his conduct was wrong and has expressed remorse for that conduct. Fair enough. By all accounts, Justin is a leader in the clubhouse, a contributor to his community, and a responsible person who was instrumental in the Dodgers diligently following the health protocols at all season long. Staging a baseball season during the COVID-19 pandemic is an incredibly difficult undertaking, and it required significant sacrifices and an enormous amount of these unprecedented challenges, and have tried to learn from those mistakes so they are not repeated. With this in mind, the matter is closed by applauding Mr. Turner for accepting responsibility, apologizing, and making a commitment to set a positive example going forward. All right, here's the thing. There it is. Basically, not even a slap on the wrist.
Right.
I mean, apparently, so if you get COVID and you know you have COVID and you know you're supposed to stay isolated, but your team wins the World Series and you decide, screw that, I'm going to go out and celebrate with my friends and then apologize about it, no harm, no foul. Yet all the people in the world today that are not wearing masks, that are getting fined an insane amount of money for not doing so, they're getting punished. And because Justin Turner is a player on the LA Dodgers, and since then, 9 people of the Dodgers organization have tested positive for COVID-19, yet it's not being related to Justin Turner, everything is forgiven. No, I don't think so. I'm very happy that the Dodgers have won the World Series. I am a little bit saddened that Justin Turner got COVID, but it should have been no exception. No exception whatsoever until he was either cleared of the virus, tested negative. I mean, that trophy is not going to go anywhere. He's still a Dodger. I believe he's entering free agency sometime soon. But he's going to be a Dodger forever. The stadium ain't going anywhere. The game ain't going anywhere. This virus is stuck. So he should have at least been able to wait the 2 weeks needed and then celebrate with his team. And that's just my thought on that.
The opinions of Statboy Mike do not necessarily represent the views of the Jeff Meacham Network or Jeff Meacham himself.
There you go.
For the record.
For the record.
But in this case, you know, and by the way, I am with Michael Gonzalez, and I'll tell you why. We all said for years, we prayed for years that when that shithead C-League went away, that the next guy in line would realize the error of his ways and reinstate Pete Rose. And that has not happened. So, on behalf of the Jeff Meacham Network, Commissioner Manfred, fuck off. Thank you very much. Okay.
Wow.
There you go. Thank you very much. So, anyway.
And now Mr. Jeff Meacham is utilizing his First Amendment right of freedom of speech. You don't like it?
Yep.
Too bad.
Yep. Because I understand that Pete did a terrible thing. I get it. I understand that he bet while in the dugout and, you know, involved in the game, and that's wrong. However, he admitted to it. He has publicly admitted to it. And I think the only holdup at this point in the commissioner's eyes is that there wasn't a formal apology issued, which I do believe there actually was. I don't know, but I think there was. And if that's the only holdup, get over yourself, you freaking jerk. So let him in and let him back in.
Define formal apology.
Where it's my understanding that Pete would actually have to declare, you know, publicly do like a, you know, like a press conference type thing or whatever, and formally apologize to the sport of baseball, the Major League Baseball, and everybody contained therein, all the, you know, whatever, for his conduct unbecoming of the game during his managership of the Reds. Sounds by betting the game, which, so, you know, but it's my understanding that that already happened. So I don't know what the deal is. And if that's the only holdup, I think that's horseshit personally. So that's just me.
So it's over. It's done with.
Yes, quite so.
You know, we're not going to really talk more anymore about baseball unless something else happens. Like we've got a clock of maybe 8 months before spring training or before the season starts up again. Who knows what's going to happen with COVID? Who knows what's going to happen with the bubbles? Who knows if people are going to be? We don't know yet. So right. For now, baseball is off the table.
Yes.
Unless something major happens. But we get to put something new on the table, and that would be basketball. Basketball is getting ready to start back up again. The NBA and the Players Union have agreed and ratified on a deal. The season will start on December 22nd, which is about 6 weeks away. The NBA draft is next week on the 18th. Free agency opens on the 20th. The season is going to be 72 games, not 82. It's going to be 72. So it's going to be a slightly smaller season.
A little bit.
And camps open up on the 1st.
So time what out for does a this second.
Mean for – Yes.
Tell her a second. We have a first time viewer in the Stat Boy Sports Bar, so I want to acknowledge her. It's this Facebook user, but it's the soon to be Mrs. Rift. Hello, Caitlin. Glad you're here with us.
Caitlin.
Feel free to crack one open for us wherever you are. I know Aaron doesn't drink, but you feel free. You know, grab a Bella wine or however you want to do it. You know, you do you, sweetie. So Caitlin's all right, here we go. Caitlin's in the house. All there right, we go. So, very good. All right.
So. What does this mean for the sports bar? We're going to start reporting on basketball, obviously. 72 games is about an 11-week season if we're estimating. It should be 10, but
hang on. It's usually 82, right?
It's usually 82, yes.
Okay, so 82 games is the same length as hockey, which usually goes from October to April, which is 6 months, not a few weeks. So if it's 10 games less, you're looking at maybe a month less, maybe.
Yeah. I looked at the calendar and whatnot. So if my math is it's no biggie. If my math is wrong. Now this doesn't mean though, after, yeah, this doesn't mean we're going to go on the air every day that there's a basketball game. That's not going to happen.
No.
I don't know if I have the time for that.
We are once a week, kids.
Yeah, we'll keep the weekly things happening once a week. I'll keep track of the games, and I'll just report what games have been played over that day, possibly team by team. So if, like, the Lakers play three games in a week, you're going to get three sets of scores.
Yep.
The stats will be a little bit amazing. And then how are the rankings going to work? I will be ranking the teams. Mostly it'll be the same way as it is in the NFL. The records, how many points the team scores, and how many points the team give up.
Right.
As far as individual players, more than likely I'll take the most popular player from each team, let you guys know how they're doing, or whichever player is doing the best. So if by some miracle LeBron James is not doing as well as he should, and let's just say who else is on the Lakers with – give me a name, somebody. Give me another Laker.
I have no idea. I don't watch basketball.
You don't watch? Great. I think there's a guy, he has the same last name as me, Caldwell Pope. Let's say he's doing better than LeBron. Well, then yeah, I'll start talking about him. So there you go. That's how basketball will work. We'll rank the teams as always. And there might be a bit of an overlay between basketball and football. So, Jeff, you're going to have a ton of graphics to put up in one episode of the show.
Give me a few hours notice, at least, for the love of freaking God, Statboy. Quick baseball note before we close the book on baseball for the rest of the season. Stephen Cohen apparently bought the Mets. I don't know what that means, but...
Okay, who is that?
Yeah.
And let's face it, the Mets haven't had
enlighten us, Mr. Brown. Enlighten us, please. So there you go.
Let's the Mets haven't had a good season since the Subway Series back in the day. It's always the pinstripes. It's always the Yankees over the Mets.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to a archived because it's new enough, but a not this week episode of Grillin' JR, and they were talking about No Mercy 2000 and how it was directly up against the Subway Series. So you had No Mercy, which was in Albany, and you had the Subway Series, which is going on at either Yankee Stadium or wherever the hell the Mets play now. It's not Shea anymore. Don't give me that bullshit. They're not at Shea anymore.
Shows how much I know about the Mets.
Exactly. They didn't miss Shea forever, but whatever it was, you had the entire New York market going, hey, we're not going to a wrestling show. You guys are out of your mind. We got the Yankees and the Mets playing at the street, you dumb fucks. So, yeah, so Vince knew about it because he knows enough about the market, but, like, he dicked himself unintentionally out of a decent buy rate and a decent attendance.
And anyway, although one of Vince's, common things when it comes to the world of sports, of course, his most famous line with the XFL, he's like, where's my football? It's not there. But apparently wrestlers can't say the word Super Bowl. Apparently they can't say the word World Series. They have to call it the big game.
Okay, they can't use it on the air, like during the Super Bowl, like if they have like a halftime heat thing going. But if you watch the opening of WrestleMania, like between 2001, 2003, like the Undertaker says it like three different times, Super Bowl and World Series of Wrestling. Like he says it. I think The Rock says it. I think Flair says it in the opening. So it's not that they can't say it. They just can't mention it during halftime heat because they are directly infringing on the official halftime show that Phil on the channel here is broadcasting during the Super Bowl. So they can't, we're going to go on the Super Bowl. It's like, no, then you're being copyright and trademark infringing by trying to take our viewers away. So you're being an asshole. So they go around being an asshole by being a sneaky asshole. Michael says, I imagine hockey will be back around the same time as basketball. Hockey will be back New Year's Day, basketball Christmas.
And we'll do the same thing for hockey as we will for baseball. Three sets of graphics. Go Ducks.
Hockey gets the priority, and yeah, I'm not going to say those two words. Thanks very much.
Although you've threatened to say it as a losing bet.
If whatever the hell was supposed to happen didn't happen, so it's okay.
It didn't happen. Time for the final rounds, or the strongest rounds.
We're moving along here, kids. Jesus, we're moving along.
Yes, we are. Like I say, 20 minutes, What can I say? I thought it would take a little bit longer. I'm trying to stretch, but who knows what happens. Week 9 of the NFL. For those of you playing along, the Rams, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Browns all had the week off. They had their bye weeks. So they'll be back in week 10.
There you go.
And week 9 started off with Green Bay defeating San Francisco 34-17. Green Bay are 12-3 against San Francisco since 1996. Aaron Rodgers, 25-31 for 305 yards, 4 touchdowns. Nick Mullins, 22-35 for 291 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. I'm going to start adding interceptions into the stats that I give, because interceptions are a big part of the quarterback stuff. I do have a small little retraction or a small little mistake that I did make on the midseason quarterback stuff last week. I'll mention it, but there's no need to go in the graphics or anything like that. I caught it at the very end when I was making that presentation. Atlanta defeated Denver 34-27. Matt Ryan went 25-35 for 284 yards. Drew Locke went 25 of 48 for 313 yards, two touchdowns. Each had one interception in the game. Not much to talk about with Atlanta. It's their second win of the season. So they're starting to that build back up. But I still don't see it going anywhere right now because it's Atlanta. You know, they've been at the bottom of the rankings for quite some time. Buffalo Bills put up 44 big points. They are the Week 9 winners. They did the best. They beat Seattle 44-34. The Bills are 7-2 for the first time since 1993. Josh Allen went 31 of 38 for 415 yards, three touchdowns. Russell Wilson, 28 of 41 for 390 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. And the NFL is announcing that Russell Wilson has a very slight edge over Patrick Mahomes in the MVP race. Yes.
I'd like to make a formal request of the Buffalo Bills franchise. I would like them to make their official song be a remix of Buffalo Gals, but use the words Bills instead of Gals.
Buffalo Bills, won't you come out tonight?
Come out tonight. Buffalo Bills, won't you come out tonight and win the big game over there, or whatever the fuck you want to use.
Well, they did this season, actually. And
Anthony, we will get there with the games as we go along. Stay on topic. Stay on topic.
What does Anthony want to know?
He's talking about the Tampa New Orleans.
Trust me, I'm getting to that one.
Oh yeah. It's gonna be fugly when we do.
In fact, there is one stat I wanted. I'm gonna quickly look over my numbers here. Russell Wilson still leads with 26 touchdowns, and who has 25 touchdowns and one interception? Where is that? There it is. It's Patrick Mahomes.
So there you go.
There it is, 26 to 25. So they're giving the slight edge to Wilson because he has that 26th touchdown.
Right.
The Baltimore Ravens took on the Indianapolis Colts and defeated them 24 to 10. Lamar Jackson went 19 of 23 for 170 yards. Phillip Rivers went 25 of 43 for 227 yards. He had an interception. The Ravens finally won a game after trailing at halftime. They haven't done that since 2018. They have a 21-game streak of scoring more than 20 points. So for all you fantasy football players and odds makers, next time Baltimore comes up, you want to think they're going to score more than 20 points? The answer will be yes. They were only held to 55 total yards in the first half of the game, so they had to come back big time to come back and win. That's the fewest so far with Lamar Jackson as quarterback. Anthony is a KC fan, and he's saying, go Mahomes. I believe it sounds like he wants Patrick to become MVP this year.
Michael does not.
Rodgers leads. I think Rodgers has 24 touchdowns. So I think it goes Wilson, Mahomes, and Rodgers. You can't deny Rodgers.
Well, he even said it was his own opinion. So.
Ah, gotcha. Next up, Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars had a pretty close game, 27-25. Houston wins that game. Deshaun Watson, 19 of 32 for 281 yards, two touchdowns. And we had a new starter for the – thank you. It's the neighbor's dog. This dog, I swear, is one of the meanest dogs I have ever. He's very territorial. He loves to bark at me every time I come into my apartment. And sometimes I get snippy at him and I look at him and we just stare for that quick second and then he barks at me.
He's like this big, right?
I compare him to the Target dog, the Target mascot.
Oh, hell no. Okay. You know what? I am so sick of little dogs barking at me and bark. Like, seriously, if you're going to bark at me, grow about 2 feet longer, you little yippy bastard. Otherwise, kiss my ass. I agree. Put the dog like a football. Make it happen, Mikey. Fucker. I hate little dogs. Seriously, there's been one little dog or two now three. Okay. Three little dogs in my entire lifetime of having little dogs around me. My ex's dog, Brownie when she was living at the apartment down the street before she moved in here.
Yes, I remember that dog quite well.
And then Bailey's two, little Coco and now Bandit. Bandit is a freaking little spitfire. I love that dog to pieces. And he doesn't bark at me and talk to me and treat me like shit. So I love that dog. Those are these little dogs, go fuck yourself.
Also, anyway. if you remember the dog from Friday After Next, Chico. What is Big Baller G sent me here? He got me some.
He sent me the same thing. Big Baller G, we actually have that clip of what you sent, so stand by.
Okay. So we have Jake Luton from Oregon State who replaced Gardner Minshew. Apparently, he's got a bad thumb. So he's out with that.
Never going to have a bad thumb.
Do you really need your thumb? You do need your thumb to throw a football.
Oh, yeah.
Houston has won six straight against Jacksonville. So we'll see. We'll see if Gardner's thumb can come back for week 10. If not, we got another guy to add to the list. Kansas City Chiefs took on Carolina Panthers and beat them 33-31. The Chiefs are 17-1 in their last 18 games. Patrick Mahomes, 30-45, 372 yards, four big touchdowns, putting his total up to 25. No interceptions. He only has one interception on the entire season in 9 weeks. So that's probably, if he didn't have any, he would probably be number one spot for the MVP.
This is week 9 we just had?
Yep.
I apologize for my graphic error in advance before. I apologize for that. Then I had week 8. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No biggie.
I lost count. And, once again, much like on Wrestling Charity Challenge, Jeff can't count.
Jeff can't count. And also, Teddy Bridgewater had two touchdowns. And it's very odd. In weeks 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, no interceptions. Weeks 2, 4, 6, and 8, interceptions. So what's going to happen in week 10? How many interceptions will Teddy Bridgewater throw in one game? Leave your answer in the comments. Leave your predictions in the comments, too. How many interceptions?
It's gonna be a long morning for good old JM on the Greg Sherry Show tomorrow morning, for the record. So tune in at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 Pacific.
Well, we can't answer that question because KC is on their bye week this week.
Well, no. Big G's talking about the game we're gonna get to later. We're gonna talk about that tomorrow. We almost pulled off a goddamn miracle.
Yes, you did.
We're almost there.
The first rivalry game in CASA version 3.0, the Minnesota Vikings took on the Detroit Lions and beat them 34-20. We got up early. I started watching CBS, and then Dory came out and she had some miracle app that allows you to stream NFL games. So we sat here. I watched the whole game. And 34-20, final answer. Final score, Kirk Cousins 13-20 for 220 yards, three touchdowns. Matt Stafford went 23-32 before being taken out of the fourth quarter thanks to a late sack. Chase Daniel had to come in. We don't know if there's concussion protocol. Not certain on that one, but we'll see what happens with that.
It's totally off topic, but since you said final answer, can I take a minute to applaud ABC? Actually putting somebody in the host chair besides Ryan Seacrest or Michael Strahan. Thank you very much. Okay, moving right along. There you go. Okay.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you.
The Lions have lost 9 straight against opponents in the NFC North. Kirk Cousins has defeated the Lions 5 straight with a 12-point margin or more. And apparently, all the teams, the Vikings, the Packers, the Lions, and the Bears, all rivals.
Yes.
Same division, same rivalry. You know, we know. I just noticed that one, and as soon as the announcement came up that the Vikings are playing the Bears in Week 11, Dory goes, "Oh no!" I'm like, "What's the big deal? You beat the Packers in Week 8. You beat the Lions in Week 9. That's a two-game win streak. So it should make no choice. Pick the Vikings in the third matchup. Go 3-for-3. It will happen.
Sure.
Put your money on the Vikings, folks." That's what I'm saying.
Tennessee. And if you lose and you put your money on the Vikings and you lose, send your bills to Mike Caldwell, care of
LV Stat Kid 1977.
That's right. $20 box, none of your damn business.
$20 minimum, that's all I can afford right now.
No, $20 maximum is all you can afford.
Oh, yeah, that too. Tennessee took on Chicago and beat them 24-17. Ryan Tannehill went 10 of 21, 158 yards, two touchdowns. Nick Foles, 36 of 52, 335 yards for two touchdowns. A team that is on a very small win streak, apparently. The New York Giants took on the Washington football team and beat them 23-20. Daniel Jones went 23 of 34. 212 yards. Kyle Allen, another quarterback to get the dislocated ankle treatment. He only went 5 of 7 for 62 yards, dislocated his ankle, allowing Alex Smith to come in. He starts in week 10, so we have another quarterback to come in for injured players. Before leaving the game, though, Daniel Jones went 4-0 against Washington. He's only 1-16 against everybody else. Let's see what happens. Let's hope he'll be out only for a few weeks, unlike Dak. We'll see. But, you know, ankle injuries, you're done.
And the lesson is, in the 2020 NFL season, do not be a quarterback in the NFC East.
Nope. The Las Vegas Raiders took on the Los Angeles.
Oh, shut up, Michael. Seriously, just they're coming to that division title. Yes! The champions of the shit.
Jesus. Las Vegas took on Los Angeles and beat them 31-26. Derek Carr only went 13-23 for 165 yards. Justin Herbert 28-42 for 326 yards, two touchdowns. Big numbers but I don't know what's happening with the Chargers to put up numbers like that and still lose. The Chargers have lost 9 straight against AFC West. Justin Herbert has passed Cam Newton for most yards by a rookie in 7 starts.
Well, that's because the Chargers have had that massive guilt about invading a stadium that isn't really theirs. So, I said what I said.
And he meant it.
Oh, I've meant it for 3 years since they started building the goddamn place.
Send all hateful comments to Jeff Meacham at jeffmeacham.com.
I'm just jeffmeachamnetwork.com.
There you go. Put it up there so they can see it.
JBC.com is that ridiculous actor that thinks he's good, thinks he's better than me.
Aha. Miami Dolphins took on the Arizona Cardinals. It's Tua time, times two.
Tua.
I wonder if he does a haka. I believe that's what it's called.
I don't want to know.
The traditional Samoan dance. I believe that's what it's called. If he does if that, he does, before
he, if he does, he's just falling in line with Roman and the rest of them. Anyway.
Oh. 20 of 28.
The Wrestling Channel. Get over it.
20 of 28 for 248 yards, two touchdowns. Kyler Murray, 21 of 26 for 283 yards and three touchdowns. Miami has a 4-game win streak. They haven't done that since 2016. And now the game everybody wants to talk about. If you're in the green room, now's your time to come in.
Nope, nobody's here.
Pittsburgh and Dallas. Do we have anyone in the green room?
Nope, just me. I told G he we're going to save him for tomorrow on Greg's show because he and Greg can have a grand old time. I can sit in the corner and pout.
Well, don't pout.
Pittsburgh. I am going to pout. Damn it. I'm pouting.
Okay, Dylan. I've been wanting to say
wow.
that for
I wasn't going for the boy, but okay. Okay, sure.
That's the running joke. It's the running joke, man. It's been a joke for years.
He got that from somebody else, but that's okay.
Did he really? I thought that was natural.
Oh, no. God, that's totally hers. Are you kidding me? Give me a break.
Then I guess I better stop using it.
Yeah,
Ben Roethlisberger went 29-42 for 306 yards, three touchdowns. The fourth quarterback that the Cowboys have used, Garrett Gilbert, had great numbers, 21 of 38, 243 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and of course, as everyone's putting online, probably so, Anthony, I do agree Dallas could have won that game if they stuck with the way they played.
Yep.
For the first time in franchise history, the Steelers are 8-0. However, we do have some news to report. The news dropped in this morning. Ben Roethlisberger has been placed on the reserve COVID list after being deemed high risk due to close contact with Vance McDonald, who I believe has tested positive. I'm not certain on that one. He's currently being isolated for 5 days. He can do virtual meetings, Zoom chats. He is not allowed to be on the practice field unless he completes his isolation. Excuse me, and tests negative in multiple times. His isolation would be up on Saturday. That would give him 1 day to prep. But also, if you saw the game, this is what happened.
Dumps it off. Johnson being bounced right into DeMarcus Lawrence, and a timeout's called by Pittsburgh.
He's feeling it right there. You can see in the huddle. He looks over to the sideline, and there it is. Talking with the trainer, moving slow.
I tell you.
Oh, Jesus.
That right there. Is it fourth round, Jim? Or is it?
I got him fourth round out of Oklahoma.
Wait, grabs his bit. Knee.
Oh.
Boy, he's moving gingerly, but he's still out
He's
there.
Not moving gingerly. He's not. Never mind.
In the head.
He did when he
I'm making a bad joke. Leave me alone.
Just on the bounce back off the contact from Gallimore.
He still does this shit. He's a freaking Superman. I swear to God, this guy.
Somewhat
oh, yeah.
Into the shotgun formation on the 3rd and 7.
Well said, Big Baller G. And he still completes the pass on the next play.
Sorry for the lag. It's a YouTube thing, so it is what it is.
Pulling it down right at the marker is Claypool.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he's ginger for sure.
But he keeps completing passes.
But he's as long as he gets one-on-one, we said in the early part of the game, throw it outside the numbers. Each of these balls is going toward the sideline.
That's how you get down the field, man. Throw the sidelines. Get out of bounds. Duh. It's football.
Yep.
Duh. Ricky, Ricky, Ricky. Lucy, Lucy, Lucy. Oh, wait.
Babaloo.
Pump fake to the end zone.
Freaking perfect scoring drive, for fuck's sake. Seriously.
You know, knees in pain.
Just a slant.
Both of them, actually. It's both knees, not just one. And that makes the old Kirk Gibson footage look like nothing. To have both knees hurt.
Let's not even say finish that sentence.
Okay.
Kirk Gibson.
That's not.
Fucking nutted up and did what he did in 88, man. Yes, Ben was tough as nails the other night. I'm not going to take that away from him, but do not say it makes Kirk Gibson look like nothing. That is horse shit.
Okay. I apologize.
Okay.
So we don't know his status. We're just going to wait it out for the next couple of days and find out what happens. Hopefully he'll be off the COVID list and be able to play.
You know what? I'm at the point now where the Cowboys just suck such a big horse dick at this point that I hope the Steelers go 16-0 just so Greg and G can have a hell of a celebration at the end of this at the end of the season. Honestly, I do. I mean
it. I will gladly jump on the Steeler bandwagon. I don't care. That's what I do.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't. I've been saying it for weeks.
Yes.
The other big game. With all hype was the Sunday night game, Saints versus Buccaneers round 2, Breeze versus Jesus. Brady, but this was like a first round knockout because the Saints not only stomped, ran over, pounded into the ground, nailed into the coffin, sledgehammer to the throne, a cannonball, shot to the heart, then you're too late, darling, you give love a bad name. There it is. Any possible thing you can think of decimating a team with a final score of 38-3 so that the Tampa Bay would not get shut out, which would have been even more of an accomplishment. Tom Brady, 22 of 38, 209 yards, not a single touchdown, picked off 3 times. Drew Brees, 26 of 32, 222 yards, 4 touchdowns. Brady has not had 3 interceptions in a game for the last 10 years. Week 3, 2011 was the last time that happened. He has never trailed a game by 30 points. That was the first time this season. And Drew Brees has now become the first quarterback to defeat Tom Brady in a season twice. Yeah. So the rage thing, and my friend Nathan does this on Facebook, he puts his face onto movie scenes. So how about somebody put a picture of Drew Brees from The Mummy Returns onto Brandon Fraser's body and say, hey, I beat that guy twice. I beat the same mummy twice. How about that one?
That's it. I love it. So, I love it.
They at least shook hands after the end of the game, I believe. But I mean, come on, that's just like that's like playing a video game and getting knocked out in the first round, and you just don't want to play anymore. You're like just run right through me, kind of like that scene from The Mighty Ducks when Goldberg says, "Go ahead, empty net, shoot." 38-3. It would have been a weak winning game, but Bill scored more.
Yeah. So. Briefly going back to the other game, Michael says Gilbert was surprisingly good. If the Cowboys had played him last week, they'd beat the Eagles. We would have.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I'd rather beat the Eagles and still lose to Pittsburgh. Like, honestly, like, anyway.
Good call.
Brady is old. He finally plays a good team again and they got destroyed.
Well said, Michael. Well said.
You know, I promised I would get off Tom's ass since he left New England, but it's too easy. It's too easy.
And speaking of New England, in the final game of the week.
Oh, seriously, what the hell, Patriots?
What was that all about? Scared the I could shit not believe everybody. It. But as said by my roommate Adam, New England was going to pull it off. I was right. By the final score of 30-27 with the late fourth quarter comeback, because apparently the Patriots are a fourth quarter team. Cam Newton, 27-35 for 274 yards. Cam Newton didn't score any passing touchdowns. He did it on his own, and that's a different stat. That's not a stat normally. The rushing touchdowns are different from passing touchdowns. Flacco, 18-25 because Sam Darnold's out with a shoulder injury. And Flacco was airing out the ball just like he was on the Ravens. He was throwing some long – I believe he actually threw two – I don't think he threw two, but he threw a good 50-yarder. Exactly, Anthony. The Jets almost had the game. 18-25, 262 for 3 yards. The Jets are now 0-9. This is the worst start they've had in franchise history. They almost beat their own score. And their highest scoring was 29. They scored 28. They have no chance to win the division at this point. They are 0-9. Even if they go 7-9, the Bills are 7-2. Let me bring up my even if by some miracle the Bills lose all their games, and by some miracle the Jets win all their games, both teams will be 7-9, but the Bills will have the better record thanks to tiebreakers.
Now, if I'm Belichick and Cam Newton, I'm first cleaning out my shorts after that game. And then I'm going, what the fuck do we do for Sunday? Because there is no reason the Jets should have even remotely gotten that close to beating those guys. I am not going to sing the praises of the Patriots very often, but you got Bill Belichick, who is a proven winner. Yeah, he's a fucking cheater, but whatever. He still wins. And you got Cam Newton, who is not playing up to his level at all right now. And the fucking Jets almost beat you guys. Like, that's ridiculous that almost was a thing.
It almost.
Terrible.
And just to set the scene.
Sit up, Stat Boy. I can't see you. Sit up.
Sorry. I had to switch out my back. Starting to hurt a bit. I'm afraid to move the camera because I don't want to knock it down. But
no, please don't do that.
The scene was, I was watching the game. Roommates came home. They said, we're going out to dinner. I'm like, okay, we're going to go out to dinner. Let me watch this drive. And at this point, the score was 27-13. This was just after the fourth quarter had started. And I'm seeing Cam refusing to throw the ball, holding on to it. He finally throws it into the end zone to make it 27-20. Right. And we left to go to dinner in the car. We stopped at a smoke shop to pick up some Black and Milds, and then I get the notification, interception. I'm like, okay, here's the team of old. Here's what's going on. Patriots run down the field, and the next three notices were Cam runs up the middle. I'm like, okay, he wants to do it himself, which he did. 2-minute warning comes into play, and they win by a field goal, which I personally don't like, but you know, a win is a win, as sloppy as it can get. And 30-27, final score. So there you go. So that's the week.
But before you get into the power rankings, Anthony has a prediction for February.
Chiefs versus Saints. Let's see. Chiefs are 8-1. Saints are 6-2. They're both leading in their division. I can see that happening.
Right?
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. Good segue, Anthony. Thank you for that. Before I go into the power rankings, let's take a quick look at the standings. And if the playoffs started today, we don't have a graphic for it yet because a lot of sites don't have that information, so I'm going to wing it. The Chiefs lead in the AFC West, 8-1. The Steelers lead AFC North, 8-0. AFC South are the Titans at 6-2. And the Bills, AFC East at 7-2. Again, remember the playoff structure. Those four teams are automatically in, ranked 1-4. So it would go Pittsburgh, KC, Buffalo, Tennessee. 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. The next three teams are considered wild cards. And based off of a couple sites, now the NFL has not officially put out their what would happen if the standings happened today. So I kind of went off of their standings, which is a little bit confusing. But if I read it right, it says Baltimore, Indianapolis, and Miami. Another site I went to said that the wild cards are Baltimore, Las Vegas, and Cleveland. So I'm still not all good on the tie-breaking scenarios. Fans in the comments, if you can find a site or if you have confirmed information on which three teams in the AFC are the wild cards, please put that up to correct me. So right now I'm saying that the three wild cards are the Ravens, the Raiders, and the Browns. If you can quickly look that up and or send me a tweet at LBSatKid1977 or send a message to myself or Jeff to confirm that before week 10, that would be greatly appreciated. Again, the Jets are not completely out yet. They are 0-9, but they cannot win the division at all. They still have a chance to possibly become one of the wild cards. They have 7 games left, and like I said, they pretty much are in a must-win situation. They would have to win them all because 6-10 would not do any good because all Baltimore would need to do would be win one game and go to 7, and then that would be that. And then we have to worry about what happens with Las Vegas, Indianapolis, and Miami. In the NFC West, or in the NFC, the Seahawks lead the West at 6-2. The Packers lead the North at 6-2. The Saints lead the South at 6-2. And of course, we have the Eagles, 3-4-1. That's just the way the playoff structure is. It's one of the worst records in the team, but thanks to the way the rules are, the Eagles are in. And the three wild cards I have are Tampa Bay, Arizona, and the LA Rams. Again, if you can confirm this with the tiebreakers, please let us know. Even the teams in the NFC East still have a chance of getting in. All the teams in the East. The East is up there because it's 3 games versus 2 games. That's just the way it works out. So I don't really see a team not making it in just yet. The lowest team really is the Falcons at 2-6 and the Washington football team. They're both 2-6. But to currently get into the wild cards, you have to have right now 6 or 5 games. So yeah, Tampa Bay, Arizona, Los Angeles. So there's still a possibility for these low teams to get in. And Big Baller G has sent me something. Let me quickly see what he's got.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, picture sent to me, G. I'll throw it up on the graphics.
It looks, yeah, this is pretty good. This is very good, other, actually.
I think other account, G. Sorry, I'm pain in the ass with that. Sorry.
It looks pretty good. And then there's my picture in the bottom of it, but
right.
It's a good work in progress. So thank you, G. All right. So that's what would happen if the playoffs happened today. Overall in my picks, I broke even for the week. I went 7-7. Hey, when you break even, you win. So there you go with that.
Makes sense to me.
And yeah, that's something I haven't learned in a long, long time.
It's going to be hard to blow that up, make it look good on the screen, Jade. I appreciate you trying, though. Yeah, it needs to be just the brackets, but I do appreciate the effort. Very much. Okay, thank you, G.
How did that get erased? That should not have gotten erased, so we got to put that. No, it's somehow the last team in the power rankings got erased, so we'll just quickly add that back in. And
like, we don't know who it is.
Yeah. And no change and loss to New England 30-27. All right. It's time for the power rankings through week 9. And of course, we just talked about them. Number 32, bottom of the barrel, not going anywhere anytime soon. It's the Jets. And sadly, even if they did win that game, their record would have been 1-8. And that still would have been the worst record, but at least they would have had a win. A new surprising team at number 31. They dropped a spot. 1-7, lost to Houston, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. Stand by.
A team that is no longer the – okay.
Trying to get this. No. This damn Chromebook's going to make me have an aneurysm. I swear to God.
We don't want that to happen.
No, I mean, if it's on the air, it's fine. I'll draw money like Roddy always said, but you know.
Draw money. I'll be back next week.
Die in the air, draw money. Oh, look, we're not coming back here. He's dead. Anyway. let's go back over here. All right. Where are we at?
Number 30, with their defeat of Washington, they actually moved up a spot. They are no longer the second to worst team. They're the third worst, the third worst team, the New York Jets.
But still, next fuck up, them. Anyway.
Yes. Next up, they dropped another spot. They're 2-7. They lost to Pittsburgh. Again, this is as low as they can possibly get, unless Jacksonville wins in week 10, which could possibly happen. We'll check.
Who are they playing in week 10?
You're off. Dallas is off in week 10.
No. Who's Jacksonville playing this week?
Packers.
Ah, fuck.
I think you're fine.
I think we're fine too, but stranger things, man.
Cowboys at 29. Team number 28, they dropped two spots at Washington. Team 27.
At least we're above the Giants.
Team 27. No change after defeating Jacksonville, Houston. 26. Dropping two spots after losing to Las Vegas. Chargers.
Stupid Chargers.
25. They had their bye week and they lost three spots. Cincinnati.
Damn. That's fucked up.
Because everybody did better than they did.
Yep.
Dropping three spots after losing to Kansas City. Carolina.
Carolina.
Gaining four spots after defeating Denver. They're in the top 25. Atlanta with their third win of the season.
Yay for Atlanta. Three wins. Woo-woo.
Gaining three spots after beating the Jets. Is that really an accomplishment? The Patriots. Losing one spot after dropping to after losing to Atlanta, which we just talked to them, Broncos. After losing their rivalry game to the Vikings, they're in the top 20. That's as low as they want to probably be. Lions. and the team that beat them, Vikings. Vikings are ahead. They gained 5 spots after 1 win.
Yeah.
Next team, the team that leads the shittiest division, as you call it. They were on their bye week and they didn't even move. Yep, powerhouse division. Well said. No change for the Eagles. And no change for the team that lost to the Packers, 49ers.
49ers! Sorry.
Touchdown, San Francisco. Dropping 4 spots.
I was doing a bad Dana Carvey impression.
There you go. Dropping 4 spots after losing to Tennessee. The Bears.
The Bears.
The next 2 teams were on their bye weeks. They both dropped a spot. We're in the top 15 with the Rams and the Browns. Dropping 2 spots after losing to the Ravens. Colts.
Yay for Colts.
In a rare move, they beat the Chargers, but apparently all the other teams scored more points, which led to their totals being higher. This is a rarity. They dropped 4 spots. Do I even have that right? Yeah. They were ranked 8th. They won their game, but they are right now ranked 12th. That's a rarity. I guess the other teams just put up more. It's also by points. So apparently their point total is not high enough to put them higher, but it's still a win nonetheless. Team number 11 gained 4 spots. It's 2 a time again. Miami.
Bienvenido.
We're in the top 10. There you go. We're in the top 10. No change after Arizona. Number 9. You lose by 35 points, you drop 5 spots. After beating the Colts, again, another situation where you win a game, but you drop a spot. Baltimore. Next team, they stayed right where they were. They beat Cincinnati. Tighten up. Tennessee, 7. The team that beat Tampa Bay, they gained 2 spots. They're 6-2, 38 big points. The Fleur de l'eau, what was that word?
Fleur de l'eau.
We are now in the top 5. 34-17 was the final. They needed those points. Green Bay. Team number 4, they lost a spot. They lost to Buffalo in a valiant effort, the green and blue of the Seattle Seahawks. Team number 3, the only team to be 7-2. They gained 2 spots, the Colts. A team that briefly had the number 1 spot. They were close, but they're still up there. They're neck and neck, but they're not quite at the number 1. We have Kansas City, and of course, the only undefeated team, 8-0, Steeler Nation, baby! 8-0, poor Tom Brady. Not. Hey, there's Harley, baby. Where you been, Harley, baby? To the game? All right, so there are the Week 9 power rankings. And now we're going to go into the Week 10 predictions. And we're going to finish up soon. Let me make sure I have.
Like I said, as long as I'm done by 5 a day, I'm good.
What's that?
Like I said, as long as I'm done by 5 a day, everything's gravy, brother.
Okay. All right. So the week, where are my.
They're up your ass. You know where they were.
So my record so far for predictions, I'm 65-68-2. Those 2 wins could be, or those 2 ties could be considered wins to put me at 67-68. So I'm
just about 500, bro.
Yep. I'm just about 500. Yeah. So Like I said, I went 7-7 for week 10 or for week 9, and breaking even is a victory. So in some cases, so here are the week 10 matchups and predictions again with point spreads. Play along, make your picks. Anthony's already claiming Steelers won't be. Oh, ho, ho. We have a little bit of a comment battle between.
A little bit of chirping going on in the chat room. I love it.
I would love. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Hi-oh.
All right, week 10.
This room is too young for that shit. Like.
It's called YouTube. Use it.
Seriously, I know for a fact that Johnny's on antenna, like antenna TV on channel 5 out here anyway. So come on, folks. Make it happen.
Yeah. So the Colts take on the Titans. I've got the Titans at a 2.5 points underdog. Or excuse me, 2.5 points favorite. That means I have the disadvantage, meaning for me to be correct. Tennessee will have to win by a field goal. So I'm taking Tennessee in that one. Tampa Bay and Carolina. I'm going with Carolina because, let's face it, unless Tom Brady decides to put on his big boy pants and not get picked off, it's a 6.5 point advantage for me. So if as long as Carolina can lose by 6 points, I'll win. So I'll take Carolina at 6.5. Houston takes on Cleveland. I'm going to go with the Browns with a 3 point disadvantage, -3. Washington and Detroit. I'm going to give Detroit another chance. It's only a 4 point spread, so I'll give up the points for that one. Washington, you know, it's Washington, so shouldn't be a problem with that. Jacksonville takes on Green Bay. Jacksonville gets a huge advantage of 14 points. So as long as they can handle that, I'm going to take those points. I'm going to say Jacksonville will cover. Green Bay will probably win the game, but I'm taking the 14 points on that one. The implosion game and another rivalry game, Giants and Philadelphia. I'm going to take the Giants for that one with the points. Yep. Stadium implosion, I know.
Yes.
Hashtag stadium implosion. 3.5 for that one, so I'm taking the Giants. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
I would love it so much if the Giants beat the Eagles for real, though.
Depending on what kind of coverage I have out here, I'll watch it. We'll see.
Thanksgiving is going to be so fun if we actually get my aunt's family over here and the Eagles end up tanking. That'll be so great.
Wouldn't it, though? So Pittsburgh puts on their undefeated streak against Cincinnati. I'm taking the points at 9.5 points for Cincinnati. I will be rooting for Pittsburgh, though. So I'm playing the points as opposed to playing the favorites.
Right.
Buffalo and Arizona, that's almost a split down the middle, but Buffalo gets the advantage with 1.5. So I'm going to take the Bills on that one. Vegas takes on Denver. I'm going to take Vegas at -4.5 on that one. Right. Seattle takes on the Rams. Seattle has a very slight advantage, 1.5. So I'm going to take that one. I'll have the advantage at 1.5. Saints and 49ers is a straight no points. So I went with the Saints on that one. The Patriots take on the Ravens. I'm going to take the points at 6.5 and say the Patriots will win that one. Dolphins take on the Chargers at a 2.5 disadvantage, 2.5 on that. So I'm going to go with Miami and Tua time and say they'll win by 2.5 points. And the Monday night game, the big rivalry, Minnesota and Chicago. I'm taking 2.5 point minus with the Vikings over the Bears. Rams win if it's at home. No, the game is in Seattle, Anthony, or whoever put that up. The game is in Seattle, so it's not a home game at SoFi this week. So that's everything for football. Be sure and watch coverage. CBS is actually CBS Morning. They are going to be showing the Masters, the golf tournament. So we'll actually bring golf into the fray for next week's show. We'll keep that up. Ball on Fox, there's this really cool app. It's called the Fox Super 6 app. You can make your predictions and possibly win a lot of money. I haven't had too much luck with it, so it's possibly a thing. They do other sports. They do Thursday Night Football. They do golf, they do NASCAR. It's just make your predictions. It's I guess it's like a cheap plug for all those guys on Fox. I'm more of a Fox guy than a CBS guy, I guess. I think Fox has better coverage, but the Super Bowl will be on CBS as the home of Super Bowl 50. A lot of comments on your
do me
on
favor
your
and read.
That's really good.
Do me a favor and read G's comment, please.
Steelers defense will step up big time and come this time next week. We will have all
next year. Yeah.
Brothers. It'll be a gigawatt.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
What the hell is a gigawatt? 88 miles an hour.
This baby hits 88 miles per hour. You're going to see some serious shit.
Yep, some stuff. All right, guys. So the football portion is done, and we're going to continue with the I did this last week. It was the Stat Boy shout out. Unfortunately, the recipient
time
of
out.
This
wait,
step.
Wait. Before you do that, because I want to make sure I get the plugs in before we're gonna close with this. I want to make sure I get the plugs in here.
Okay. Let's get the plugs
all
in.
All right. So first of all, first and foremost, I would like you very much to check out the rest of the week. I will get to the merchandise. I'm doing the shows first. So stay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Stay with me there, Stat Boy. Okay, very good. Tomorrow, right here on the Championship Network, you can catch Greg Cherry, more than likely Big G, because that's just my luck, and me talking about football, talking about wrestling, talking about the world in general. And yes, they'll be picking on me, I'm sure, because the Cowboys blew the fucking game. That's tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock PM Eastern, for you kids out there in New York and out on the East Coast, like Greg and G, for example. Then Thursday, as of now, the plan is for me and Greg to watch the WWF Championship, WWE Champion versus, wow, I went way back there, didn't I? WWE Champion Daniel Bryan take on the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar from Survivor Series 2 years ago, in which you will see the debut on my back anyway of the new Wrestling Rewind shirt. There it is, baby. Yeah, baby. Love it, love it, love it. I'm scheduled, as of now, to be on the No DQ Review Thursday at 7 Eastern 4 Pacific. Don't know if it's going to happen, but if it is, check me out there. This Friday is the big trivia match, 979 days for Mr. Cherry, and he will be taking on an old friend from the past. Stagger Lee is returning to the internet wrestling community for the first time in 12 years, and can he be the one in 979 and one? That's the key.
My money's on Greg Cherry. Go, Greg, now, go. Go,
as
Greg,
it should
go.
Be. As
go,
it should
Greg,
be,
go. Go, yes. Greg, go. Cherry and for Quizzlemania. Cherry for Quizzlemania. Thank you.
I think we get up on that hashtag, but that's okay. Thank you, Mikey. you can get the shirt Mikey's wearing right now at teespring.com/store/Greg Cherry Brand. You can get my shirt that I'm wearing right now, which is actually Mikey's shirt, but I'm wearing it, so it's my shirt, at teespring.com/store/Jeff Meacham Network, which you can find at jeffmeachamnetwork.com, as well as the YouTube page you're watching right now, the Anchor page you're listening on right now, my Twitter, my Instagram, and my Facebook. And, of course, you can follow the legendary Stat Boy himself, Mike Caldwell. And if I can find a bloody freaking hashtag, where's my stupid banner? Hang on. I was up there. There it is.
There it is.
So there he is, Mikey's Twitter. You can follow him. He's got 385 follow, 148 follow. So whatever he's got, make it more.
Followers.
We need followers.
I need followers.
That's right. Oh. And Big G, God bless him, bought a Talk Wrestling shirt today. So I love him for that. I appreciate that very much. Very, very cool. Much appreciated. Anthony, don't go yet. We've got one more thing segment to close the show. So stand by. I'm almost done plugging, I promise. I promised a friend of mine that I would plug her latest photo shoot if she were able to post it today. She has not posted it yet, but she will post it sometime either today or tomorrow. My good buddy, the cosplayer, Alexandria the Red. Woo! She and her hubby did a little vacation for their anniversary this weekend, and she took a lot of, shall we say, cabin thirst traps while she was gone.
Woohoo!
And she'll be posting those on the $5 tier, which works for me. So there you go. that's it.
We need to bring her in here.
I would love to. She is not down for interviews. That's not her cup of tea.
It wouldn't really be an interview. It'd just be her talking.
That's not her bag. She is very beautiful, but that's not her bag. So, you know, we'll leave it at that. All right.
Fair enough.
On with the sorrow here. Yeah.
Briefly, I talked about. Yeah. Well, not quite.
Okay.
Said it earlier. I did make a mistake in the quarterback rankings. I believe we put. I think we put Ryan Fitzpatrick at the top, and if you go back to the tape, I did not put in his sack numbers, which probably messed everything up. So I believe I think we had Aaron Rodgers at number two.
Right.
So that was my mistake. And since then, I've been kind of reworking my numbers for the end of the year. So like I said earlier, you know, Wilson is edging out Mahomes for the MVP award. So that's kind of like it's pretty close to my final year season stats, which I'm kind of hoping. I guess it'll be like the first ever Stat Boy Sports Bar MVP award. So I'm taking out the number of times sacks because you mentioned that a quarterback getting sacked is more of a defensive thing than a quarterback thing. So I'm going to take your suggestion on that, and I'm just going to focus on the completion ratio, the passing yards, the number of touchdowns, and the interceptions. And I've got 6 weeks to work on this so I can get it the way I want it to. And at the end of week 17, before the playoffs start, we'll have a list. Right now, the list has grown from 43 quarterbacks to 45 quarterbacks because the rule is for a quarterback to be entered into this list, they have to start the game. So with the exception what's happening with week 10 with Alex Smith, he came into the game for I don't really remember what I said earlier, but whoever came into the game and he gets the week 10 start, that will be his first official game, and he'll go into the list and we'll see where he stands. He'll be 8 games behind, but he will get a mention. So I wanted to kind of correct that. I kind of noticed it when I recorded it when we did the show last week. I'm like, I didn't put the sacks in there, and that kind of did it. All right, so the Stat Boy shout out sadly goes to someone who has passed away. We were watching football on Sunday morning, and I went to go look at the Fox Sports app, and I got the news that longtime Jeopardy host Alex Trebek passed away Sunday at the age of 80. He has lost his very courageous battle with pancreatic cancer. He was a very private person until this situation came up. This came up about 2 years ago, mid-2018. He put out a nice statement on the Jeopardy set saying, "Friends, this is what I have. I have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, but I am not going to let this get me down. I am going to fight this. I'm going to beat this." And the odds of him doing that, he even told us it was at 7%, it was a 7% chance that he was going to survive. And he did numerous interviews on Good Morning America and ABC. He gave us updates. He briefly said that, you know, the chemo treatments were very tough on him. There were times where he had horrible bouts of back pain, depression, sadness, but he wanted to keep going, and he did. He made it past the 1 year mark. He wanted to make it to the 2 year mark, but sadly, I guess the big man upstairs said, "No, your time is done. You need to come home," and he did. But he went out like a true warrior. He spent time with his family, and in many interviews, he said that I'm happy with my life. He basically said that if it was his time to go, he had no regrets. Okay. He said, I've lived a good life, and he said there are a lot of things that I still haven't found out in life, but that's okay. And late Sunday night, ABC did a wonderful one-hour documentary. And Jeff, I'll let you say a few words, and then we're gonna close the show out with a statement from the executive producer of Jeopardy. And all I can say, remembering Alex, you know, I started watching Jeopardy all the way back in 1984. I was 7 years old, and I didn't quite get the concept of answering a question with a question. I didn't get it.
Right.
You know, they give you the clue, and you have to say what is, who is, how is. And being 7 years old, you know, I didn't know much about the world. I didn't know much about history. My yes, Jeff, that is true. I should have mentioned that. He worked.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Statement from the producer. Yeah.
But you know, my life was cartoons and playing on the playground and cereal and all that stuff. I didn't know anything about the world. So whenever a question would come up, I had no clue. And don't get me started on Double Jeopardy, because Double Jeopardy was way more difficult. And then Final Jeopardy was, I mean, I would have had a better chance with a bow and arrow hitting a target at 50 yards. It took me at least 15 years when I moved into the Casa with JJ and Pop, and I wrote a nice little speech on Facebook. You can find it on my personal page. JJ and Pop and I, we would sit around the table or sit in our chairs at 7 o'clock every day, and we would play Jeopardy. We'd watch the show. The question would come up. Pop would take a turn. JJ would take a turn. I would take a turn. And if one of us blanked, we would just jump in with the question. And Pop used to love doing this to me. My ethnicity is Greek American. My family is from Greece. I was born here. And every time the G word from the Greek in Greece, this Greek person, this Greek word, Pop would put down what he was doing and he would give me that death look, like saying, okay, Mike, what's the answer? And I'm like, Athens? I don't know. I'm like, I don't know everything about Greece, but
the answer is always Athens.
Yeah, the answer is always Athens. So,
that's right.
So, that's yeah, right. That was mine. All right, go ahead, Jeff. The floor is yours.
Not gonna say a whole lot. I said what I said wanted to say on Facebook, but I've grown up with Jeopardy. My dad's we've told my dad for years he should audition for Jeopardy because he's just the smartest man I know. He knows every fucking thing. Like he does. He knows everything. It's scary. And you know he goes on these streaks of Final Jeopardies that my brother just, how the fuck do you know that? How do you, how, he goes in these conniptions. Like he doesn't understand how my dad just knows too. This random shit. It's ridiculous. But Alex Trebek is, I said this on Facebook, he's felt like kin. He's felt like one of the family because he's been in our home every weeknight at 7 o'clock. And to see him at WrestleMania was really cool when he ring announced the main event where my guy got the belt, which was so cool. And to see his fright of Damien and his interview with Demolition, which was hysterical, and the opening thing where he punked Mean Gene pretty much and made a fool of Oakland, as Gene was always the butt of the joke. It's very frightening that of those four people in that first segment, Marlon Maples is the only one still alive.
Yeah.
And Gene's pretty much killed by plastic at this point. So, you know,
yeah. The conniptions you were talking about is still a current thing. Dory and sure. I, like I said, we have 100 episodes of Jeopardy going all the way back. We just don't have the time to watch it. Dory right. works, you know, she comes home late at night. I'm like, let's watch yeah. Jeopardy. And we play along, but we just yell out the answers. And then Final Jeopardy comes up, and you know, you have to know, you have to have the knowledge of insight to get Final Jeopardy. And she will just pull it out of thin air, and I will just give her this look like, seriously, you got it? And then I literally throw the remote control on the ground. I toss my phone halfway across the room. I throw my, I'm like, how in God's name did you get that right? She's like,
Exactly. So in closing, Big G, we'll answer your question. I don't know if I'll be able to watch Jeopardy. I said when Bob Barker left The Price is Right that I would not watch anymore because that's Bob Barker's show. And I, to this day, I'm not a religious Price is Right person like I was when I was younger. I don't mind Drew Carey as the host, but it's not my Price is Right. This is different.
I think it'll be more different when Jeopardy and Sony make the decision.
I don't know if it was you the one that pitched it on Facebook, but I like the idea of Ken Jennings taking over. I think that's a brilliant strategy.
It could be.
He is the most prolific Jeopardy contestant of all time. I mean, you know, you've got James recently, Holhauser recently, but Ken Jennings made Jeopardy championships like a thing, like I really. So I would say if anybody's going to take over, if they do indeed continue on the show, you can't look anywhere but Ken Jennings, in my personal opinion. That's just me being a fan of Jeopardy my entire life. So take it for what it's worth, Sony and whoever else.
When the cancer announcement came out, I even heard a rumor that the play-by-play for the Kings, Alex, help me out here.
Alex Faust.
I heard Alex Faust was in the running. I don't know if that's a possibility.
He was. Okay. And it'll be really funny if Alex Faust takes over two of my longtime stalwarts. It'll be funnier than shit. But the thing is, if the world resumes normalcy, 41 games on the road with a Jeopardy schedule, that's going to be a pain in the ass. So I don't know if that's going to happen. So anyway, we're going to we're going to close the bar now at this time. Pay your tabs, tip your waitresses, you know, close your tabs, all that happy jazz. And we're going to leave you today with a statement from the, as Mikey said, the executive producer of Jeopardy. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock here on the West Coast, 1 p.m. out there for you East Coast kids, for the Greg Cherry Show, as we do each and every Wednesday here on the Jeopardy Network. Thank you, Alex, and Godspeed, sir.
Producer of Jeopardy. Over the weekend, we lost our beloved host, Alex Trebek. This is an enormous loss for our staff and crew, for his family, and for his millions of fans. He loved this show and everything it stood for. In fact, he taped his final episodes less than 2 weeks ago. He will forever be an inspiration for his constant desire to learn, his kindness, and for his love of his family. We will air his final 35 episodes as they were shot. That's what he wanted. On behalf of everyone here at Jeopardy, thank you for everything, Alex. This is Jeopardy.